Anthony, thank you for that shout of joy earlier. Appreciated that. I hope that if you're not at Exodus 20 already, that you will turn there in your Bibles and be there. We're going to mainly focus on verses 8 through 11, but I wanted Kaylin to read the whole thing this morning so we could just, or read those first four commands, so we could get a feel for that. And I'm setting up my paperweights here because lately the air conditioning has been blowing all my notes all around, and that doesn't help anybody. So we're in the midst of a sermon series. If you're new with us, welcome. So glad that you're here. We are in the midst of a sermon series that we're calling Rest. And really what this sermon series is meant to be is kind of a journey through and hopefully to discover and experience along this journey, discovering what the Bible has to say about rest. And so we're looking all throughout the scripture over these several weeks and thinking about rest and what that means in the scripture. And the banner verse, kind of the overarching verse that I just love for us to be thinking about and mindful of and remember always as we are in the midst of this series, no matter where we are in the Bible, is from Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus says these most profound and incredible words, when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And we know that the rest that Jesus is talking about there is more than just a physical rest. It's a soul rest. It's an all-encompassing rest. And out of that kind of soul rest, though, comes a life that bears a natural physical rhythm, a rhythm of physical rest. And it's God-designed, it's God-commanded weekly rhythm of rest that we're going to be focused on for the next few weeks and kind of think about how it connects with us. And here's my prayer. Here's my hope for us, not just these couple of weeks, but really in this whole series, in the midst of a crazy world where everything seems busy and fast and tired, that we will become more of a people who are marked by that kind of rest that Jesus gives. And therefore, the more we are marked with that kind of rest, then the more we are ready to participate in the work that God is doing for the redeeming transformation of our city and our world. Because the fact is, if we're always tired and worn out and burned out, we are not ready to participate in the awesome work that God calls us to do. And of course, a lot of us are loving this day because tomorrow is another day of rest, right? Tomorrow is Labor Day, and many of us will get a three-day weekend, and tomorrow have time to hang out with family or with friends or to, you know, do some chores around the house, whatever you like to do on Labor Day. And for many of us, Labor Day kind of marks the end of the summer. At least that's what it, you know, used to mean for school families, but now school starts like, I don't know, it never ends. And so it doesn't really mean that anymore. But this week, as we approach Labor Day, I thought, I need to figure out what Labor Day really is about, because I think it's just one of those things that we say, sweet, a day off, but let's find out what it's about. So I did some learning, and I had one version of the sermon, I had a whole lesson on Labor Day. I thought, that's dumb, I don't need to do that. So here's what I'm going to cut to the chase. I went to the Department of Labor website. First of all, there's a website for the Department of Labor. It's very exciting. And on there is a whole page about the history of Labor Day. So you can check that out if you're really bored. And here's what it says about the purpose of Labor Day. Listen to this, especially in light of the text that Kaylin read for us this morning from Exodus 20. Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions that workers, like you guys, have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. It's a tribute every year to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. Now, here's what I want you to hear me say carefully. I love Labor Day, and I believe that God created us to work, and therefore I believe that work is vital to the economic and social well-being of any society. But I just use that quote, it just struck me to highlight that the day of tribute that the scripture talks about in the fourth commandment is very different from the day of tribute, of course, that Labor Day is about. And if we don't understand that difference, if we don't understand that distinction, then we will never really capture the heart of what the fourth commandment is all about. So let's pray and ask God to help us with that today. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you so much for this three-day weekend for many, this extra day of rest. Come right now by your Spirit, though, and wake us up to the reality that you are here and that you want to speak to us, that you want to shape us as your people, that you want to work in and through us, and that this is a very important piece of what it means to experience the rest that Jesus came to give us. So God, we don't want to just know more information, but we want to experience your redeeming transformation. So come by your Spirit and bring it, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Well, as we launch into this, here's a question I want to just ask you to think about. Now, I imagine in this room there are all kinds of various ways of answering this. What has Sabbath meant in your life? What has Sabbath meant in your life? I bet for some of you, when you think about Sabbath, I've already heard some stories today, you think about very strict rules about what you can and cannot do between certain hours and certain hours, and a very kind of strict boxed-in time or a day of the week. That may be what some of you think about. Maybe for you, when you think about Sabbath, you're a person that just thinks about coming to church. Like, that's just, oh yeah, that I do. Sabbath means I go to church, I go to a worship service on Sabbath. And maybe there's others of you, I would imagine that there's some of you that Sabbath really, that word doesn't mean much to you because it seems like an old word, like kind of irrelevant from the Old Testament, or I've never even heard of it before, I don't really know what it means, and doesn't really have any kind of bearing on your life today. Or maybe you think it doesn't apply to you for some reason or something like that. And then there's others of you, there's another group of you that actually Sabbath, when you think about how you have experienced or what has Sabbath meant in your life, your answer would be that it has been a rich spiritual discipline that God has used in your life to increase your faith and to refresh your soul by his Spirit. And I'll just tell you right now, if that's you, if you're one of those people, then my goal is that more of us will become like you. Because that's the hope of these next several weeks, these next couple of weeks in particular, is that we'll get to that place when we think about the word Sabbath. So look with me at what God says. We're just today going to very basically kind of break down this fourth commandment and think about what it is that God's saying and what's important about it. So verse 8, God starts by saying, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I encourage you to underline that word, remember, because that's unique in the Ten Commandments. Remember. And that word remember is really important because so much about the Sabbath, this fourth commandment, this rule that God gives, is about setting up a mechanism to help God's people remember who he is and what he has done. In very similar ways to this table that is set before you, a mechanism to help us, God's people, remember what God has done. So over and over and over in Scripture, we see this word that God gives to his people, this whole theme of remember, right? Remember. Remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Remembering is a critical piece or important part of our relationship with God because of all that God has revealed and all that God has done. And I would venture to say that when we don't remember, we go astray. When we forget, we get off path, we get off track. And so God says, remember. And then what is it that God wants them to remember? It says very specifically, literally the words say, remember the Sabbath. Now, in your Bibles, that Sabbath is probably capitalized, right? Why is it capitalized? Well, I think it's capitalized because it's speaking of a very particular Sabbath. Not just the idea of Sabbath, it's thinking about God's Sabbath. God's pointing to that very first Sabbath that we see in Genesis chapter 2, where it says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So we're to remember that God Sabbath. We're to remember that God rested. Remember the Sabbath. Now, when we think about that, if you're like me, you think, wait a minute. God rested. What's that about? Like, why did God rest? Was he tired? Were his vocal cords kind of rolled out from saying, let there be light, and, you know, let the sea be filled? Was he worn out? No! God wasn't tired. God's eternally powerful. God has unbounding energy. God did not get tired. So why did God rest? Well, I think one of the reasons that God rested was to teach us something. To teach us that we need rest. To teach us, to model for us this need that we have. Because, you see, we all who are made in the image of God, and that's every single one of us, made in the image of God, but are not God. That's also every single one of us, right? Right? Okay, I just want to make sure you're clear on that. Because we'll really be off track if you're not. Okay. So we are made in the image of God, but we are not God. And one of the main ways we're different than God is that we need rest. In fact, we cannot even survive physically without rest. In fact, God made us to need rest every single day. And of course, you could figure out a way to survive for a little bit without rest every day, but he really designed you to need rest every day. He even made the earth spin in a certain way to make sure the lights go out and you get the rest that you need. God made you to need sleep. And for those of us that have tried to defy that need, we know that eventually that catches up with us. And for those of us who've tried not to defy that need but can't help it for some reason, you know that eventually that catches up with us. And I've just been, I don't know about, when you think about sleep, do you ever just kind of go, mind blown on sleep? Do you ever think about that? That God made us to sleep. And when we sleep, it's like our body shuts down and our brain keeps going. But we're like oblivious to the world around us. And in the midst of that thing called sleep, God has designed our bodies to do incredible things like renew and heal and restore. Like all of that stuff happens while we're just like, or whatever, however you sleep. God uses that. In fact, the act of sleeping is an act of surrender. And just process that. God designed us every day to have this rhythm of surrender. Because you can't rest without surrender. And so God calls us to remember that He, our Creator, rested as a model for us because we have to rest. And so He says we're to remember that the Sabbath, that He rested, and then He gives us a way that we are to remember. He says in verse 8, by keeping the day holy. What does that mean? That means that we're to set apart this day as a special day. And then in verse 10, he gives us a little bit more about that. It says, to set this day apart, and this is one of those phrases I just think you should underline, circle, highlight, whatever. To set this day apart as to who? To the Lord, verse 10. To the Lord. You know, so often in our culture, this is why I think that's so important, because so often in our culture, it's very common for people today to say, you know what I need? I just really need a day to myself, right? I need to get away, and I need a day to myself, to me. I need a day to myself. Well, what's the Bible say? The Sabbath is different than a day to yourself. The Sabbath is very specifically a day to the Lord. It has wonderful benefits to yourself, and we'll talk about those, but the day of the Sabbath is really a day that's set aside as holy, that's set aside, kind of dedicated to the Lord. And if it's not a day to the Lord, then I would say it's not really a Sabbath, according to Scripture. And we know that every day, of course, is to be lived to the glory of God, but God instructs His people to make this day holy, this meaning this seventh day that He's talking about here, and He says this, He in a very special way, this is how you're to make it holy. This is how you're to set it apart. This is how it looks different than all the other days. He says, next verse, he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Now I want to get to that last phrase in just a minute, but I almost wish I would have scheduled in a whole sermon just on work. And we just don't have time for that right now, but I'll just give you the quick version. God made you to work. God created us to work. Work is part of God's creation. It's part of what you were designed to do. And of course, in this section, when it says, on 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, it's not just talking about the things that you do for a paycheck, right? Right? It's not just talking about the things that you get paid to do. And that's just a reminder that every single person, if you are living and you can function on your own, you have a work to do. You know, some of you are students and you don't have a paying job. Ask them what I tell them all the time when they're leaving for school. They'll say, he says, have a great day at work. Have a great day at work. Because right now they're students and their primary work is to be a student. And so they have a work. We have a lot of people in our church who are retired. Are they done with work? Can they just have a Sabbath all 7 days? Not if they want to live in a way that truly satisfies their soul. God made them to work. And if you're still living, God still has some work for you to do. So even if you're retired, you still have work. There still is work for you to do. And we have to, by the way, to live out this command, a little sidebar, we have to figure out what that work is. Because if we don't know what that work is, it's hard to actually rest from it, right? Right? Like, if I can't tell you what my work is, then I don't know how to take a rest from that thing. So we have to figure out what is that work and how do I rest from it. So, but then when we get that figured out, we take 6 days and we do all of our labor, all of our work. But then on the seventh day, he says, as a Sabbath to the Lord, and on it you shall not do any work. That's how we make the day holy. In fact, he wants everybody to stop working. Did you see that? Children, servants, animals. Can't send the dog out to fetch whatever, I don't know. You know, like foreigners, people that are living a part of them that aren't even necessarily, Jewish people. Everybody is to stop working. This is very clear from God that this is not just a time for the economic elite to take a break and be served by their people. That's not what this is about at all. So for 6 days, everyone works and everyone and for one day, everyone rests. So there's this rhythm, right? You're hearing the rhythm there? And within the rhythm, there's this daily rhythm. And so in the Jewish calendar and the Jewish way of thinking, the day starts in the evening, which I think is brilliant. The day starts in the evening, so how do they start their day? They sleep and then rest. Or sleep and then work. And then sleep and then work. And then sleep and then work. And then sleep. And then work, and then sleep, and then work, and then sleep, and then work, and then sleep, and then rest. That's the rhythm of every week that God calls them to do, to set aside one day, not to themselves, but to the Lord their God, to the Creator, to stop work and surrender the Sabbath that God created, and remember the Sabbath that God created the earth and heavens and all that we know. It's not a suggestion to them. It's not a recommendation like, you know, their daily caloric intake that none of us really follow. It's not even just something like, hey, this will be really great for you if. No, it's a command. And it's a command we see in the Old Testament that God takes very seriously. And sometimes I think we respond negatively to commands. So let me just say this. Living in submission to this commanded weekly rhythm is actually a tremendous gift. And that gift is more than just physical rest. That's one of the reasons it's such an amazing gift. It's not only about physical rest. It's not only about taking a nap and sleeping and extra or whatever. Look at what happens in verse 11. It says that God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, what did God do? It's the same thing it says in Genesis chapter 2, that the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So God blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Well, what does that mean? Well, by blessing the Sabbath day, it means that God made it good. God made it really good. He put his favor all over it and into it and onto it. He made it a day that's like full of blessings. Full of blessings. He blessed it. And then it says he made it holy. What does that mean? Well, it means it's like the word that we say in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. He makes it holy. He sanctifies it. He hallows it. And what that means is it means it's a day that's going to give glory to him. It's a day that's going to make the character of God known. It's a day that's going to be special in lifting up who God is and what God has done. It's a holy, sanctified day. He blessed it and he sanctified it. That's why not only did God model for us the need that we have for rest when he rested, he also modeled for us a weekly rhythm of stopping and savoring the beauty of God's work. Remember what it says in creation? God said, oh, that's good. 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 Oh, that's really good. Right? Kind of like last night I had a cookie. And I was like, oh, this is so good. Right? He demonstrated this weekly rhythm of stopping and looking back and saying, look what God has done. And look how good it is. And so for us, that weekly rhythm, that Sabbath day was never meant to only be a day of physical rest. If we only do physical rest on the Sabbath, we'll be missing the fullness of what the Sabbath day is about. No, the Sabbath day is about physical rest and spiritual refocus. Spiritual refocus to turn our attention, to look back and say, wow, look who God has been. Look what God is doing. Look how good God is. Rest and refocus. And I love the way that Pastor John Piper kind of brings that out when he makes this paraphrase that he writes of this command that God gives us. And in Piper's words, it's as if God is saying to humanity, let my highest creature, the one in my image, stop every 7 days and commemorate with me the fact that I am the creator who has done all this. Let him stop working and focus on me, that I am the source of all that he has. I am the fountain of blessing. I have made the very hands and mind with which he works. Let one day out of 7 demonstrate that all land and all animals and all raw materials and all breath and strength and thought and emotion and everything come from me. Let humanity look to me in rest one day out of 7 for the blessing that is so elusive in the affairs of this world. So, beloved, here's what I want you to believe today. What I want you to believe is that heeding this call for a weekly Sabbath, obeying this command to stop for one day out of 7 as a sacrifice to the Lord, is actually a tremendous gift. And there are 2 reasons I think that that's really important for us to believe that. First, I think that some of us have ignored this command under the umbrella that this is an Old Testament command that's no longer relevant for the follower of Christ. Even though we don't really do that with any of the other 10 commandments. And it is true, of course, that Jesus did come to set us free. Jesus came to set us free from the burden of the law and from the full penalty of breaking the law. You see, none of us have lived the law of God perfectly. It's one of the ways that God uses the law to show us and help us be aware of our own desperate need for his salvation, that we always fall short. And that's exactly that salvation is what Jesus came to bring. Think about Jesus' life. He lived perfect life. He lived in perfect obedience, and then he gave himself up to death as the perfect sacrifice for our disobedient hearts. He took on the penalty for our sin and rose from dead in the victory. So now the scripture says that anyone who puts their faith in Christ Jesus is forgiven of their sins, from all their imperfections, from all the ways they've broken the law, and is covered by the righteousness of Jesus. And that's reason to say hallelujah. That's reason to burst forth into jubilant song. But it's not reason to disregard obedience to God. In fact, it gives us reason to obey God, because we realize that in obedience, we experience what he wants to give us. Remember that we talked about all summer that the blessed life is life according to the Word of God. And so when we believe that obeying this command about Sabbath is actually a tremendous gift that God gives us, we'll be much more likely to lean into this God-given rhythm in our own lives and realize that it is incredibly relevant. Incredibly relevant. And the second reason I think it's so important for us to believe that obeying this command is a gift is because some have made this command more of a burden than a gift. You see, during Jesus' day, the religious leaders had kind of created, not kind of, they had created astounding limitations on the people of God to keep them from getting even close to breaking this rule about Sabbath. And so when you thought about Sabbath, you probably didn't think about, oh, yeah. You probably thought, oh, no, like, I can't push that button. I can't walk over here. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't go here. I can't help. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. That's the way you thought about Sabbath. In fact, when Jesus, there's two different examples in the scriptures. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath whose hand is withered. And because he healed him on the Sabbath, because he brought renewal to the man on the Sabbath, what did the religious leaders want to do? They began to plot to kill him, it says. They began their plot to kill Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath. They had made the Sabbath a tremendous burden. And when you think about the Sabbath as a burden rather than a blessing, it just becomes about legalism and rules and checking the box. But when we believe that God gave us this commandment as a blessing, as a gift, then we're much less likely to make it into another one of our legalistic religious activities that's just a burden. So here's the bottom line. God calls us, church, he calls us to remember the Sabbath by taking one day out of the week to rest from our work and refocus our hearts on him. One day out of the week, specifically to be still and to know that he is God. And for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we know that every day belongs to the Lord. That's not, God isn't saying that the other days don't belong to him. He's saying in the midst of that, take one day out of the week for this special purpose of Sabbath. And if we want to be a people who experience the rest that Jesus came to give us, the rest, that soul rest, that all-encompassing rest, then living into this weekly rhythm, 6 days work, one day rest. 6 days work, one day rest, and refocus, set aside to the Lord. That is a critical piece of it. There's a ton more for me to say about Sabbath, and so we're going to spend the next few weeks thinking about it. But let me just want to, I just want to ask this, and especially in the next couple weeks, I want to talk more about how do we do that? How do we live into it? But today, I just want you to think carefully about this. So even though I close the Bible, don't let that be a sign to like disengage. Here's a really important question. At the beginning, I asked you, how have you experienced Sabbath? How have you thought about Sabbath in the past? This is the question for right now. What is the Lord saying to you about Sabbath right now? What's the Lord speaking into your heart about Sabbath? And I'll just tell you that if you're hearing an inner voice that is saying, you are a failure, you're a horrible person, you're no good, you're unworthy because you haven't obeyed this command, just like all those other commands you haven't obeyed, then I can confidently say that is not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord. The Spirit does come to convict us with God's truth, but the Spirit of God never condemns those who have put their faith in Christ. And if you're hearing an inner voice that is saying to you throughout this whole sermon right now, like, hey, you better start obeying. You better add this to your list. You better shape up. You better get in line if you want God to love you, if you want to be a good Christian, if you want to meet the requirements of whatever. I'll just tell you, that's not of the Lord either. This is never meant to be a burden. Jesus said, put on my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In fact, there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more or approve of us more, because if we have put our faith in Christ, then by his grace we are completely covered in his righteousness. But maybe you're hearing God saying, you really can trust me with the day like this. Or maybe God is inviting you into the rhythm of Sabbath by saying, come, taste and see that I am good. Or maybe God wants you to be a little bit more clear on what your work is, the work that he has given you. Especially if you're retired or you don't have a paying job right now, maybe God's saying, I want you to figure that out because I do have work for you. Or maybe God is saying to you, especially if you're a person here who's never really put your faith in Jesus, if you've never surrendered yourself to this one who came from heaven to earth to give us freedom from all of our failures, maybe he's saying to you today, come to me. All you who are weary and tired and burdened, and I will give you rest. What's the Lord saying to you about the Sabbath? I pray you listen to him. And just like taking the Sabbath week after week is a way that we rest and refocus our lives again and again and again to remember that God is the Creator. And in the midst of that, while we do that, God in his awesome grace uses that holy day to increase our faith. We'll talk more about that next week. So today, we come to this table to share in the Lord's Supper, to remember what Jesus did for our salvation, and to declare again this day that our only true rest is found in Jesus, the one who gave his life for us, the one who rose from the dead, the one who's coming again, trusting that God will use this holy meal to feed our souls. So let's come to the table. Pastor Lana. Oh, Father, you are powerful. You are the Creator. Everything that we know came into existence with a word from you, a powerful word. And the most powerful expression of your word was Jesus Christ, the living word, the word of God who took on flesh and came and dwelt among us, full of grace, full of truth, to show us the glory of the Father. And we put our faith in you today, Jesus. We find our rest in you. We thank you for the way that you call us into rest. So may we be people who live with a mark on our lives of your rest. Not just externally, but internally. That we wouldn't just practice one day every week that we set aside to you physically or externally, but our hearts would be Sabbath hearts that rest in you. So that, God, we will be energized and restored and refocused and rested and ready to participate in the powerful, wonderful, beautiful work of redeeming transformation in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our homes, everywhere we go this week, trusting that you are at work. Come and teach us to be Sabbath rest people in Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today to be a part of worship on this three-day weekend. And just pray God's blessing upon you over the next day. If you get tomorrow off, enjoy it. Celebrate. Don't just make it a tribute to us and all the work that we've done. Make sure you say thanks tomorrow to God who gave us work to do and called us according to his purposes. The prayer team's here. They look a little lonely. They'd love for you to come and pray for them or pray with them. If you want to pray for them, you can do that too. And they'd love to pray with you. So I encourage you to come forward and ask for prayer. Now I invite you to go from this place receiving this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make you his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's rested people said, go in peace.